feeling so much to need the Lord's merciful and gracious help, I venture now in directing your thoughts to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and reading verse 7. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, and reading verse 7. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16 and verse 7. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. There are a few occasions, perhaps particularly, when we feel the need just to convey how we are brought, perhaps, to a certain verse or a certain word. On Tuesday evening, I received a message through my wife, from our friend at the desk here, and the message was this: looking forward to seeing you on Thursday evening. Well, how good it is to be favoured like that, wherever we may be asked to go. And sometimes, you see, the Lord has a purpose in a message that we may receive. Now, when I was told by my wife and I received the message, looking forward to seeing you on Thursday evening, my thoughts were taken to this word here. And I thought, well, how much, how far, far greater it is for poor sinners, wherever they may be directed of God, wherever they may be in their life, whatever might lie before them in the future days of their life, to be favoured in it to see Jesus. There shall ye see him. You see, I hope this thought may encourage our friend at the desk, because I'm well aware that the dear men that hold office in our chapels, and often they have a heavy load to carry, much concern, and how it is so here, and it is in many of our chapels today that, and I hope you'll understand me when I say this, but how often in our chapels, perhaps there's one deacon, may not be even any more in the church. And we need to remember our deacons. I've often tried to encourage our deacons at home like this, and I've sometimes said to our people at home, oh, if you receive encouragement through the hymns, then tell them, because they need encouragement, as God's servants are thankful to receive encouragement. So there's just those few thoughts there as we begin our meditation. You see, sometimes a message sent can be used of God. It often been so. And how we need, if ever any of you dear friends feel moved to write a letter, well then write it. If ever you feel moved to pick up the telephone and to encourage one of God's servants or anyone for that matter, then pick it up. The devil will try and stop you. Well, just to explain what I feel even in this, some weeks ago now I was preaching away from home, one of my Sundays away, and well, I had to go as I did and venture as I did, and yet when I returned home, and indeed that evening and through the night, I felt, whatever have you been saying? And I felt very troubled about it, my preaching, and I often have done. But you know, on Monday morning the phone rang. And at the other end of the telephone there was a dear trembling lady, and she said, "Oh, I have trembled and wondered if I should or shouldn't pick up the phone." But you see, she could say this, that, "Oh," she said, "what you were helped to say yesterday, it described my very life and case." So you'll see how these things, messages sometimes that God will have to be sent. Sometimes very simple messages, as this was on Tuesday evening. But you see, this word here says, "But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." Now, this will bear out what I've just said, those few thoughts that I've mentioned. But these dear godly women, and they were dear godly women, they were among that little band of godly women that ministered to their Saviour in his needs, in his holy humanity. They ministered to him. And you know, dear friends, and I do desire to be led of the Spirit of God whenever I try to preach, but you know, we would ever be thankful for the dear godly women in our chapels, as well as the dear godly men. We're living in days when the tendency is that it would seem to me in our government and elsewhere that people are trying to turn men into women and women into men. But it's not God's way. Men have their right place, and so do the dear women. But they have their God-appointed place. The husband is the head of the house, as Christ is the head of the church. And so it is rightly viewed in the business world. But you see, the whole thing is being confused and turned round today. One of the sad signs of our time. We need to keep to the order that God has given to us. That you see, here this a band of dear godly women, they ministered to their Saviour. Oh, how thankful I have been many times for dear godly men and dear godly women. And I would encourage you in that here this evening. And never forget what the Lord has told us, that a cup of cold water given in his name will not lose its reward. A cup of cold water, it won't lose its reward. And how burdened this godly band of dear women were. You see, they loved their Saviour. And why did they love him? Because he had called them from death unto life. Because he had brought them to himself. In Mary Magdalene's case, we are plainly told that he cast out seven devils. Oh, what cause she had to love him. The more we know of deliverance from evil, the more favoured we are in our souls, the more we shall love him. And why do we love him? If we do love him, we love him because he first loved us. And so we have them here coming to the sepulchre. And I've often felt what we're told about them. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Oh, how burdened they were. Of course, we know that it has been rightly said, and it is true, that Eve was first in the transgression. It was Eve first who partook of the forbidden fruit. And it was godly women that were first at the sepulchre. And that is how the Lord would have it to be. These godly women, they were first at the sepulchre, and they came that they might anoint him. Oh, how they loved him. And then there's this, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. We do not read that any of the disciples came like this, do we? Oh, they came afterwards. But they weren't the first at the sepulchre. You see, it was love that moved them. They bought, and we're told in another of the Gospels, that they prepared sweet spices, and they came, and here, at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And oh, how many poor sinners have given utterance to just the same thing in their own heart's experience. You may be there this evening. You may feel to have a great stone that you cannot roll away in your life. And you may be there, you may be saying, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" You see, no stone is too heavy or too great for the Lord to roll away. And when they arrived, you see, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. Oh, the Lord had rolled it away for them, and that is just what he still does for his dear people. And then we have it, you see, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. We can understand it, surely. We would have been just the same. They loved their Saviour, but you see, they were just poor, trembling women. Oh, how poor, trembling creatures we are. How often we tremble. And sometimes it's very true of us, at least I would have to say this, at times, creatures of fear, we drag along and fear where no fear is. And yet the Lord is very merciful. He knows how weak and faint thou art, and must appear at length. A look from him will cheer thy heart and bring renewed strength. And then they were spoken to. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." What a wonderful thing to be favoured like this. I remember a dear lady, so burdened about making an open profession. And you see, the Lord gave her, as it were, a glimpse of this sepulchre. "Come see the place where the Lord lay." Oh, she was favoured to see, as it were, the baptismal pool by faith. And it was said to her, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay." Oh, that moved her, you see. Oh, the telephone rang. "Can I come and see you?" Now that is what the Lord does for his dear people, and there are those of you here tonight that have proved it. When the Lord moved you in spite of all your fears, and his word was true in your case, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And when that power is put forth, it matters not how weak, how faint, how fearful poor sinners are. They'll have to come then and tell what the Lord has done for their never dying souls. And then there's this, you see, there was a message to be delivered by these godly women to the disciples. Tell his disciples. There was a message to be delivered. And that takes me back to those few opening remarks. But go your way. They had a message to deliver. Tell his disciples and Peter. I'm sure that many of the Lord's people, his dear people, both men and women, young people, whoever it might be, but I'm sure that many, many have been thankful for this word here. Peter certainly was. Oh, I'm sure that when he received this message, his poor heart was broken before his Lord and Master because he denied him. Oh, but haven't we denied him? Could any of us here tonight say that we've never denied our Lord? Would any of us be able to say that we'd never denied him? The Lord has made us to understand something of what we are. As poor sinners, fickle, feeble, false, to changes ever prone. But you see, Peter had such a lesson to learn in all this that he never forgot it. And it was all in the Lord's hand to prepare him for the work that God had appointed for him. He couldn't have preached as he did without all this. Oh, but you see here then, the message was, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Well, let us just go back to our reading, first of all, for a few moments, in that 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. After the Lord Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper as he did, may we not forget this, that the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show ye the Lord's death till he come. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But this is what I wanted to particularly notice. The Lord had already told them, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Now, dear friends, have we known what it is for the Lord to speak to our hearts? This may have become clouded over in our life and in our soul's experience. But have we, his word, locked up in our heart. You see, perhaps the Lord would have, as it were, this to be renewed in our hearts here this evening, a renewal of what he has said, because he'd already spoken this to them. He'd already spoken it to them. Well, I know I've spoken like this here before and elsewhere, but friends, has the Lord's given you a promise? Has he spoken to you? It may have been years ago now. Perhaps the Holy Spirit, I hope he will, take you back this evening. Perhaps it might be many years when the Lord gave you a promise. You see, I remember, perhaps just to illustrate what I mean. Many years ago now, dear Mr. Morris was preaching at Jaira Tentadin. And he was speaking about Jacob when he saw the wagons, and his spirit revived, and he said, "It is enough. I will go down and see him before I die." And what was the promise that God gave him? In the next chapter, I think it is, "Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will surely bring thee up again." And in his case, it was as he was brought up to his grave. But the Lord brought him up again. "And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." Do you never forget that? Because I felt in that moment, and I know I'm saying this to you here this evening, and I know that it may well be sorely tested yet, but I felt that day that when I came to die, my heavenly Joseph would put his hand on my eyes. Now that's many years ago now, and I've yet to come to death. But death is a real solemn matter to the living family of God. We have a hymn that says this, "Death, awful sound," and it is, "and terror of the human race. Who except Jesus' smile within can look the monster in the face?" But you see, dear friends, whatever the Lord, if you have, if it's just one promise, if the Lord has given you his word by the Spirit, and you were humbled in it and under it, and you were favoured in believing, now what the Lord said to you, however many years ago, he's going to fulfil it when the time comes. He's going to fulfil it. You see, so this is one thing I've come here with tonight. That after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. He'd already told them. He'd already told them. Now what a mercy if we've ever been spoken to by the Lord in these things. Oh, what a mercy. Perhaps I might be allowed just to add this thought. And sometimes these things can affect our children, they can affect our dear ones. But I remember so well when our eldest son was a tiny boy and he was sitting on my lap. Mr. Leslie Rowe was preaching on that occasion, and he spoke like this, as recorded in the Word of God for the woman of Shunem. And the question was put to her, wasn't it? "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she said, "It is well." Now, I felt that day that it was well with my son. I felt it would be well with him. I really did. And I've lived to see the day, through the mercy of God, when the evidence of God's grace was to be seen in him, and the day came when I was favoured to baptise him. Oh, these things, you know, that the Lord does. And If the Lord gives to a parent a promise or a word about a child, you see, they may go to the ends of the earth. They may go right away from the truth altogether. But oh, if God has spoken, he'll bring them back. He'll bring them back. If he's spoken, he'll bring them back. I'm aware that parents do not always live to see this. But it doesn't alter the word of God. They'll be brought back as sure as God has spoken. And sometimes these things are sorely tried in the lives of parents. They have been in my own life, when it would seem that those things that we'd hoped and believed in, as though they've all come to nothing. But you see, the Lord had already spoken. And not only had he spoken to his disciples, but he'd spoken to Peter. But think of what happens here, that after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered, immediately, this dear man, and he was a dear man, I would feel it right to say that many of the Lord's people have been thankful for the account of poor Peter. Have you been a companion with him? I have. Oh, we've denied him, haven't we? You know, we can deny him, and we do in all kinds of ways. It's really when we speak as he did, in our hearts, in our life, I know not the man. And yet that same dear Saviour had said to Peter, come, follow me. And he'd left all and followed him. You see, it shows, doesn't it? It shows what poor things we are. It shows how we shall only continue as grace is given. But here immediately I would, as it were, try to make this clear here this evening. But the Lord had already said, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men, think of what he said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And how did his Lord answer him? How did he answer him as recorded in Luke's Gospel? Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Do you know what it is to go into Satan's sieve? Have you ever known what it is to, as it were, for your religion to go to and fro in the sieve? You wonder if there's going to be anything left? Well, that's just how it was with Peter. Oh, you see, Peter, a loving Peter fell, as we've sung in our second hymn. A loving Peter fell. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. And the Lord had to teach him this. It was something that he would never forget. It was something that he could convey to those to whom he preached. He knew what he was saying when he did preach. And that's really just the same still today regarding God's servants. You'll know when men speak from their hearts. You'll know when the Lord moves them to speak, because there'll be a measure of power attending his word through them. We speak that we do know. Wasn't it the Lord said that himself? We speak that we do know, and you receive not our witness. Now, I want just to tarry for a little while here. Peter answered, as soon as the Lord had said, I will go before you into Galilee, Peter, and he said it to the others as well, but immediately Peter answered, and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Friends, listen to this. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And I've noticed this especially as I read it this evening, because what else does it say? Likewise also said all the disciples. So they were all in this, you see. Peter was the spokesman. Peter, you see, impetuous that he was. You know, some people can't keep anything to themselves. We're all different in our disposition. But the Lord knows all about our disposition. He knows what poor things we are. But then, you see, it was this. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Well, that is the background to the subject. And then to think, oh, I cannot leave it without this. You'll remember, and we've read, haven't we? Let me just turn back for a moment to that took place here. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely also thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Well, this is the background to the subject. And oh, are we thankful for the word that's recorded in, I believe it's Luke's Gospel. Wondrous words. And Jesus turned and looked upon Peter. And he went out and wept bitterly. That look of love, it broke his heart. And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, what must Peter have felt like? What he must have felt like. And yet, friends, if we know anything of our own fallen, sinful hearts, we're no different. We're no better. We're no better. So you see these words that I've read to you, but go your way. These godly women, but go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he said unto you. Now, just for a little while to come to this word then. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Now, isn't it true that we're often fearful about the future? We're often fearful about the future. We're poor trembling things. And I can only hope that the Lord has given me this word. Even if it should be for one of you here this evening, I would be thankful. But think of what the Lord is saying to you. I hope you'll feel that it is so. I hope you'll lose sight of me and my poor voice in that sense. But that this might be a word for you. If any of you have been praying today for a word this evening, have you been asking the Lord for a word? Have you felt to need a word today? Is there that in your life? Are there those things that at times fill your poor heart with fear? You wonder where the scene will end? You have those things, you have those thoughts. It may be connected with yourself. It may be very much connected with your loved ones in one way or another. But you have your fears. But you see, the Lord is saying, and I hope we shall feel this, that go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Whatever that may mean, if it means something to do with your daily life and your daily occupation, if it means something to do with even your home or something future in that respect, something to do with you in your life, I mean providentially, first of all. And yet, think of it. Whatever might lie before us in the future, what a mercy. Oh, this is something that we all need. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you. Think of it. The Lord going before you. Preparing the way for you. Opening the way for you. So that whatever may transpire, I think of it first of all regarding the things of this life. Surely that is our exercise. That is our concern. You see, there's a sense in which this is just my own personal feelings, but even in coming to Cranbrook this evening, this is what I've needed, that he would go before me here this evening, and there shall ye see me, there shall ye see him. And isn't it this that we need whenever we meet for worship? Isn't it that we might see Jesus, to see him in his word, to hear his voice, for him to speak to our hearts? Isn't it this that we meet for? What is there without it? Well, there's nothing without it. It's only as we see Jesus, it's only as we hear his voice, it is only when his word reaches our heart with a measure of power. But then in closing, and I need help to say this, I feel, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. But friends, every one of us here must soon die. Be his water spilt on the ground. However much longer we live, it's going to be but a moment compared with eternity. Unless the Lord comes, unless the Lord returns before we die, We shall all die. That lies before us. Death lies before us. And the grave lies before us. Eternity lies before us. But if you see, the Lord's people are very concerned about death. They're very concerned about their end. You know, people that are in the world, left to themselves, they laugh about death. They laugh about hell. But a child of God cannot make light of this, you know. Death is death. Death is a reality. Do you know what it is to tremble at the very thought of it? Sometimes especially. How will it be with us in the swelling of Jordan? Now you see, even in death thou wilt most needful be. And I've often felt how that hymn is worded. In death thou wilt most needful be when I yield up my soul to thee. Oh, you see, this is something we shall feel our deep need of. Dear Mr. Dawson used to often tell his people and others that the Lord does not give dying grace till a dying hour. And I'm sure that's right. But oh, if this should be a word for us even in that sense, even regarding our end, that he goeth before you into Galilee. Into Galilee. And there shall ye see him as he said unto you. Oh, to see him when we come to die. To be favoured in death. As I said already, in death thou wilt most needful be when I yield up my soul to thee. I've told you, have I not, perhaps before, of that instance in a particular old people's home. And there that same day, first of all, there was this poor woman who was struggling to live and was heard to say regarding death, I won't, you see, I won't. She was really saying, I won't die. She struggled to live, but she had to die. And yet in that same home there was another dear lady, and it was completely opposite to this. What was she heard to say? She was heard to say this, even so come, Lord Jesus. Now, there you have the two opposites. And it will either be one or the other with you and I. Oh, we need these things. We so need the reality of these things. Amen.